The great sage Krishna Swami Amdias is the author of all Vedic literature, and of which his work, Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Mahabharata, the very popular readings, as stated in Bhagavatam 1.4.25, Srimad Vyasadeva vowed to Mahabharata for the less intelligent class of men, who take more interest in mundane topics than in the philosophy of life. The Vedanta Sutra was compiled for persons already above mundane topics, who might already have tasted the bitterness of so-called happiness of mundane affairs. The first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra is Atato Brahma Jignasa. Only when one has finished the business of mundane inquiries in the marketplace of sense gratification can one make relevant inquiries regarding Brahma, the transcendence. Those persons who are busy with the mundane inquiries which go in newspapers and other such literatures are classified as Sri, Sudra, Dvita Bandhus, or women, labour, class, and unworthy sons of a higher class, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Such less intelligent men cannot understand the purpose of the Vedanta Sutra, although they may make a show of studying the sutras in a perverted way. The real purpose of the Vedanta Sutra is explained by the author himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and anyone trying to understand the Vedanta Sutra without reference to Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly misguided. Such misguided persons who are interested in mundane affairs of philanthropic and altruistic work under the misconception of the body as a self could better take advantage of the Mahabharata, which was specifically compiled by Srimad Vyasadeva for their benefit. The great author has compiled the Mahabharata in such a way that the less intelligent class of men, who are more interested in mundane topics, may read the Mahabharata with great relish, and in the course of such mundane happiness, can also take advantage of Bhagavad Gita. The preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Vedanta Sutra. Srila Vyasadeva had no interest in writing a history of mundane activities, other than to give less intelligent persons a chance of transcendental realization through Bhagavad Gita. Vidura's reference to the Bhagavad Gita indicates that he had heard the Bhagavad Gita from Vyasadeva, his real father, while he was away from home and was touring places of pilgrimage. And stating, your friend, the great sage Krishna Swami Vyas, has already described the transcendental qualities of all in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Bhakta, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that in his overview of the Bhagavatam that if all of the Vedic literatures were lost or burnt up, there would be no loss as long as the Srimad Bhagavatam remained. For these Puranas, Itihasas, Mahabharata, they have their purpose, which is to satisfy the minds of the persons in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. So they're divided into various categories, and different people will be attracted according to their material inclination. But when it all is said and done, they have no real eternal value. Of course, within those literatures are important sections, such as the Bhagavad Gita being placed within the Mahabharata, has a very important style to spiritual work. And we find in other Puranas some sections dealing with Krishna Lila or dealing with very important instructions of explaining how Krishna's Supreme Personality is God. But all in all, there's no great necessity for any of these literatures. Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect and complete literature, non-different to the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. Bhagavatam also descended from Golokha Vrindavan. He first gave to Brahma in the form of the Chaturstoti, the four original verses. And again, just before he was departing on the planet, he repeated those four verses before Uddhava and Maitreya. And he gave further explanation. Actually, he gave a different, more intimate explanation than he had given previously to Brahma. He was speaking to Uddhava, who is the intimate friend and advisor of Krishna. So he's speaking on a very intimate level. And Maitreya happened to come at that time. So he also spoke with Maitreya with the intention that the action and message was for Vidura. Vidura is a very intimate devotee of Krishna. Actually, it's Yamaraj. And the post of Yamaraj is very important, responsible post. So it's always given to a very exalted devotee. So Vidura being the incarnation of Yamaraj and the direct son of Vyasadeva, due to various reasons explained in the Mahabharata and other places, Vyasadeva became the actual father of Vidura by impregnating the mother of Vidura. So here we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually only passed on to very intimate devotees of the Lord. Very elevated personalities. We can understand that it's the most intimate description. And the key to be able to understand the Bhagavatam is that we must hear the Bhagavatam from the Vaishnavas coming in line of these great personalities. Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva. Then we'll actually be able to understand the essence of Bhagavatam. Otherwise, here in India we find many persons who put on Bhagavat sattvas and other such programs, who are able to quote so many sloks from Bhagavatam and remember all the different stories which are contained within. But they're not able to open up the hearts of the listeners. They're not able to impregnate pure Krishna. For that you must come in the pure line of intimate associates. So here Maitreya is listening to the questions of Vidura. Actually Vidura asked a few questions, but his intention was to ask Maitreya to repeat the intimate message to Krishna. That intimate message was the intimate details of Srimad Bhagavatam, of how one can enter into the eternal service and pastimes of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The intimate message which was left for the Vidura just goes to show the very elevated professional devotee. A Krishna before departing, he left this wonderful message book, that how one can rise above material nature, how one can rise above misidentification, thinking that we have any connection with this body, mind, intellect, senses, how we can understand that there is no shelter in the mind and the senses, how we can come to the platform of understanding that Krishna is the cause of everything, cause of this material nature, cause of Lord Brahma, who took care of the secondary creation of material world, the cause of Mahavishnu, from whom the universe is emanating, the cause of the various enlightenments in Vaikuntha, the cause of the Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Arjuna, Buddha, the original personality of God, Shamsi, restored in Kundalini. Kahamne Vasane Vadwe. Right from the beginning of the chapter sloka, Krishna is immediately saying that his eye is Brahma. When we think of eye, when we think of a particular person, we can understand that that person has likes and dislikes, he has temperament, he has related, he has a place where he lives. So immediately, the Lord is explaining that it comes from here. And I live in a place which is never destroyed. Being the cause of everything else, I'm not affected by this material world and its creation, dissolution. Not affected. So far beyond. Come from a place where I live eternally. My friends, with my mother, my father, my cows, from this chakra soaking, Lord Brahma was able to empower me, Ramasi, from this chakra soaking, see the Krishna Brahma, Sintana, he was able to compile all of this by the grace of the Lord and just hearing the chapter soaking. He also expanded the chapter soaking by explaining to Narada, and later on Narada explained to Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva laid out the Srimad Bhagavatam in its complete form of 18,000 slokas. There is no difference between Chattisloki and the other 17,900 and whatever slokas. Each and every sloka, each and every syllable of the Bhagavatam is perfect and complete. Mature fruit is the topmost understanding of the person. And all of these other literatures, however wonderful they may seem, however much they may satisfy the mind and senses, altogether they're not worth even one speck of a bucket. That Bhagavatam is what can give one pure love of God. And that pure love of God is not to be found anywhere, not in the material world, and not in the spiritual world. You won't find it in Vaikuntha, you won't find it in Ayodhya or Dwapara. Pure love of Godhead is only available in Vaikuntha, where the residents are totally surrendered, satisfying the pleasure, senses of Krishna. That is their life and soul. They have no other hope. That will satisfy Krishna. Krishna likes playing in the cars, well, let them play along with him in the cars. Krishna likes to eat nice milk products, let them cook nice milk products. Krishna likes to dance, and let them dance. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Vrindavan, Radha Krishna. This is Bhagavatam. This is what has been given to us by the Acharyas. The opportunity to enter into the real mood of Srimad Bhagavatam. The opportunity to actually become eternal servants of Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, everything else is simply a dim reflection of that most glorious place. Become serious in this life and try to take advantage of what Srila Prabhupada has given us. To assist on society. Just see what he gave us. He gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave us the Association of Vaishnavas. He gave us Nam Sankirtan. Above everything else, he gave us the understanding that if you want to enter into the innermost chambers of these things, then you have to learn how to. Until we come to the platform of wanting to give the understanding of Bhagavatam, to give the holy name, engage other people with devotional service. We will not be able to understand Bhagavatam even if we study it up and down, over and over and over again, until we can remember every stroke, every syllable. Bhagavacharya and Katapath. He was very learned in Bhagavatam. And yet, Mahaprabhu didn't want to hear his commentary on Bhagavatam. Not because he didn't explain that Krishna's Supreme Personality perfect, but because he was not following in the footsteps of the previous chapters. Very popular these days to say, oh, why? We need to accept the spiritual master like Amitabha, accept Srila Prabhupada, accept Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, accept Vyasadeva, whatever it may be. But that is the demoniac move. To try to step towards Krishna without taking shelter of his devotees. But it won't be possible. Cannot get to Krishna except for his devotees. His parampara of intimate associates with Krishna. He must somehow connect up and get accepted into the eternal family of Krishna. Otherwise, whatever we're doing is just a phantasmagoria, a daydream. All of the chanting, all of the studying, but is not connected with the devotees of Krishna. We're not taking shelter of the devotees of Krishna. We're not receiving the mood of how to serve Krishna through the devotees. And we're really not going anywhere at all. And when somebody is not going anywhere at all, they slowly start to slip. It's not possible to be stationary. Even Krishna cannot be stationary. He's always expanding. I see. Ocean glass is always expanding. And the devotees are expanding and onlooking, tasting that rasa, engaging in wonderful devotional services. Ever expanding. There's no room for stagnation. As soon as there's stagnation, one starts. As soon as there's speculation, one starts. Something may seem to be very bright, but if it's embedded in ignorance, then it's just a glaring reflection. It has no power whatsoever. We may find many others who agree with us. Oh yes, this is the right process, this is the proper thing, yes. So much for a juggle. We have to see what the challenge is saying. See, Prabhupada has emphasized it so strongly. Paramhansa. He always was thinking, no, it's not myself, it's my spiritual master. By the grace of my spiritual master, by the grace of the previous acharyas, I'm able to do it. Now some people declare that Prabhupada didn't want the palm to ask for one. You should just stop and think. Krishna wants the palm to ask. Or the previous acharyas, but some people are so offensive at the Lord's feet of Prabhupada that they want to declare, no, he wanted to stop the Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to go against the eternal system and introduce some new system. Prabhupada is here. He's been here for the last 5,000 years. So why take any spiritual messages? Find Srimad Bhagavatam, study it, accept Vyasa as your guide, and get nowhere. Be able to pass on the intimate understandings. Be able to pick up the mood of how to serve Krishna. That's necessary to come in contact with a person. A person who comes in contact with a person in whom he has picked up that in your service. That is what the Pantra is. Passing on that mood of devotional service, giving the opportunity for others to enter into the eternal service of Hare Krishna. One cuts oneself off from that and thinks not. This ekarava is considered to be the personification of Vaishnavatva, the Guru of the Why? Because he decided that he would accept Dronacharya as his Guru, even though Dronacharya was not in life. And decided, well, I've hit my Guru now, I'll study, I have a Guru. But that is not a personal relationship. Personal relationship is when there are two persons accepting each other, passing on the intimate understanding of science. And the impersonal is when, no, I can do it all myself. What do I need any teacher for? What do I need anyone to show me? Yes, then maybe you will be able to do it with Kanye. But you will not have that mood which will attract Krishna. And if you're not going to be attracted to Krishna, then what is this? Then, one day Srimati Radharani is dressed up as Krishna. In every way she is identified. Her body is like Krishna. She's wearing the mukut with the peacock feather in it. She has the flute, the ankle bells, everything. Unjamala. So now obviously, naturally Krishna, not finding Radharani, was very much distressed. He was crying out to Radharani. And while he was crying out to Radharani and falling on the ground and crying, then Radharani, the form of Krishna, came there. Also falling out to Radharani, acting exactly like Krishna. And she saw this personality and said, oh, who are you? He said, me, you know, I'm the son of Nanda Maharaja living in Nandagrami. My mother is Yasoda, my brother is Balaram. No, no, that's me. You're an imposter. Then they perform various tests. They both play the flute, birds and things, and it became solid. And everything solid started to melt.
Yeah.
And Radharani informed Krishna, she also played the same hand. They danced, both of them danced perfectly. Then Krishna said, all right, if you are here, you're Krishna, then where's your Radharani? And then she said, all right, but if you're Krishna, where's your Radharani? Then Krishna said, all right, so this is the ultimate test. Whoever can call Radharani here, he must be the Lord Krishna. So they both started calling out the name of Radharani. But eventually Radharani gave up. And she was the Lord herself. So then they were laughing and they said, all right, let us go before Radhita and Vishak and the other Sakis and show up on them and see if they can tell which is Krishna and which is Radha. Found Sakis and they said, all right, so now see which one of us is the real Krishna and which is. So they tried so many things, but they couldn't understand. Then Radhita declared, all right, what is this? Krishna without Radharani is no use. We'll just leave this place. But there is no more life. Then Radharani Krishna revealed their thoughts. So if you're not in contact with the Vaishnavas, if you're not in contact with the devotees of Krishna, and you will not get Krishna, then what is the use? You may be recognized by others as a great devotee. You may be performing so many activities. It's all just a dim reflection. It's not the real thing. Reflection itself cannot enlighten you, cannot light up anything else. Something which is in the mode of ignorance cannot give knowledge to anyone else. And in that state it will slowly dry up and dry up. You have to try to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, the help of the Vaishnavas, direction of Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Understand that what it is that Buddha, the Guru, Narada Muni, and all these great personalities are actually relishing. They're actually absorbing. Bhagavatam will destroy darkness in the heart, remove the universe. If it is not doing that, then the means are not surrendering. We don't have complete faith. Potency of Bhagavatam. Potency of Vaishnava. Potency of Holy. And then we're simply dealing with Avash. Reflection. Nambas, Bhagavatam Vas, Nambas. As long as we're on that platform, we will not be able to come in contact with the real thing. But it's Nambas, Bhagavatam-vas. It destroys all of our previous karmas. Rises to a point of not being affected by material nature. But it cannot establish one in an eternal relationship. That we need Sudhanam, Sudha-bhagavatam, Sudha-vaishnava, Sudha-shish. Sudha, Nam Sudha Bhagavatam, means that there's no tinge, no tinge of desire for liberation, any of the five kinds of liberation. No tinge of being attracted to the offenses of Dwapara and Vaikuntha. No tinge of wanting to be the greatest knower of Krishna, the greatest jnani, master of spiritual knowledge. But only the intimate desire satisfies sense of which there is no other realm of truth. It has place that even Krishna is asking for one moment, one questionable moment, to stand behind the tree. Everyone has thought into the deep ocean of meditation. Even the flowers and the grass, even just dry. There's nothing about Krishna. Why exists? Uddhava was said to Vrindavan. Supposedly to give them instruction, but actually to be able to understand the intimate mood of love, which is which was himself. But then Krishna pointed, when Uddhava sees Vrindavan now, in his mood of separation, he become overwhelmed. When Uddhava arrived, Uddhava looked completely normal. Cows were running here and there, flowers were blooming, birds were singing. But factually, only Krishna stood out, stepped out of their vision, which was everything dried up. Everything lost its beauty. Beautiful trees suddenly became thorn trees. Flowers just refused to bloom anymore. Gopis, scoured boys, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, weren't interested to feed their bodies, wash their bodies, keep things clean. Cobwebs overtook their houses. There was no reason to be alive. This is the intensity of pure devotion. This is what's available, this platform of devotional service is available to the great devotees who are descending into this world simply to give the condition of the entity the opportunity to come and to come in contact with Krishna. As I said a few words about Snanyata Chakramu. Chakramu Snanyata Chakramu. Nigriti. He was actually called Nigriti because Krishna actually goes into a seclusion at that time. That's it. With the goddess of fortune. In first place, Vasudeva, Baladeva, Sadhguru, they're feeling such intense separation from Vrindavan. See, the body is just shrinking up. Such a deep mood of separation. The devotees are bathing them to eat them and that burning fever. Then Krishna manifests symptoms of becoming sick, but he actually wants to go into seclusion. And the reason he wants to go into seclusion is goddess thoughts. But oh, I just want to take a nice ride with my devotees, visit some nice places, I'll come back in 15 days. So she agrees, all right. Then he calls all the devotees together, right now, you please pull my chariot out today. This is a wonderful opportunity, Jagannath. That he please pull my chariot back to Vrindavan. In other words, you come along with me to Vrindavan. I render you this service to me, I will take it to you. An opportunity to enter into the eternal Vrindavan. Vasudeva being the expansion of Krishna, because when he explains that expansion is not the proper understanding, not the full understanding. Actually, it's not different to Krishna, except in mood. Krishna had grown beyond the age which he is in Vrindavan, then it would be Vasudeva. The gopis had grown beyond the age which they are in Vrindavan, then they would be the queens of the world. So all of these great personalities who are from Vrindavan, they remember in Vrindavan intensely. Giving the opportunity away. Now we want to go back to Vrindavan and take this from them. Automatically, the servants and the assistants of the king, they get to go where the king goes. They get to live in the palace. But it's 15 days when Jagannath goes into seclusion, down into the city. It's a very important time for meditating on that meaning of being able to attain the love, to understand the deep meaning of separation. Be able to cry for the love. Be able to cry for eternal service of that meaning. If one is able to enter into that meaning by the grace of Vaishnavas, then certainly when he takes Jagannath from the Mount Yatra, he'll be able to go back to him. Prabhupada started Rath Yatra all over the world. He didn't start Uttarath anywhere. He turned that country. He didn't want us to come back. He wanted us to go to Vrindavan. Anyway, are there any questions or comments? Yes. These are details, not important. Just details. What they don't agree and disagree with is the need to help the servants. But if you're going to be worried about whether there's devastation out in the mind or not, that certainly won't take you back to God. Whether there's devastation or not, any devastation really is not important. Neither party is wrong. He goes from his simply expanding that understanding. Sridhar Swami was not specifically, he was initiated actually into the Mayavadism. Generally, we wouldn't accept his commentary on the Bhagavatam. But it was seen that his mood of devotion was so strong that his commentary must be accepted. It wouldn't be possible unless he was in the nature of Krishna. But Sridhar Swami's commentary was to bring back those Mayavadis to the personal level. So he may not have gone so deep into every detail of the Bhagavatam in his commentary. But it's considered to be the first bona fide commentary in the Bhagavatam, and everyone follows in his footsteps of the mood. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give pure Krishna faith, and the followers of Ramadhi, the Goswami, Vishnu, Chakra, of course they have much intimate, more intimate access into the meaning of Ramadhi. But they don't go above Sri Goswami and not accept it. They seem to carry on expanding. Yes, the verse was 4 verses, now there's 18,000 verses. And there's more than a million verses of purpose in that. We have to catch the essence of Bhagavatam. And the essence of Bhagavatam is not how the universe is created or not created, or whether there's a devastation after the Manantara or not. The essence is that all of these great devotees are worshipping Krishna. Otherwise Bhagavatam doesn't mention these stories in Satyavata. His glory was that he was devoted to Krishna. Otherwise, why does he mention any of the other devastations? He's gone over and over in the day of Brahma and through the life of Brahma, but it's not important. Here there was a great devotee. And so that story, that particular story is
being played. It seems like
that's the question, why do people fall down? Well, there's only one reason to fall down due to becoming insensitive to Vaishnavas. That usually comes about when we become fucked up. And think ourselves greater than anyone else. As soon as we take on that position of thinking that we know more or we're better than anyone else, then naturally we become offensive to others. We deride others, we belittle others. And thus we lose the devotion of people. But God described it as a full moon slowly windling down to the dark moon. It doesn't happen in one moment. Somebody may seem to be going on perfectly all right, but slowly, day by day, eclipses. And suddenly there's no more place for emotions. Fortunately, we meet people who are doing so much preaching for us, and we devotional activities, we meet them sometimes when they have no interest whatsoever. And even sometimes we meet people who cannot even remember anything. So I can't remember anymore. So until they're able to come to a platform of being able to surrender to the Vaishnavas again and beg for the return of the devotion of people, then they won't be able to take up the devotion of service. When they do that, then everything will return to where it was left off. We have to learn from this. So many great personalities may have run into temple. That temple may appear in our small understanding of time for a long time. But we should learn from that. We should not become puffed up and think, oh, that guy fell down, this one fell down, it won't happen to me. No, it can happen to anyone. Devotional service is our birthright, it's our eternal right. But the devotional service is Krishna, and we are the servants. So if we don't enter into that mood or maintain that mood, then we will lose that progress. We become offenders. There's no room for offenders in spiritual life. Raghunath Das Goswami, he would never listen to any complaint about Vaishnava. Immediately closes it. Even if some Vaishnavas had difficulty, having difficulty, as you become, we should try to remember the glorious things of love. Because they will return, that's their eternal situation. Present situation of a living entity where it's in a fallen condition is not its eternal condition. Eternal condition is to engage in the service. That's how we should remember your relationship. That's how we should see your relationship. As Bhagavatam, the purports and slokas have been edited so many times, and yet all the time I find spelling mistakes or something like this, or a Sanskrit word missing in the transliteration. But it makes no difference, because the essence is still there. That's what we have to concentrate on. We're going to concentrate on the thoughts and like this, and that's what we'll attain. She says that very clearly by the Gita. That you attain to that which you're concentrating on. When you concentrate on the pure, then you attain the pure. You're going to concentrate on the divine qualities of Vaishnavas and Krishna, then it's that you attain. Anything else? Yes, very nice example. Just, even though I knew the Brahmins inside out, when Balaam came there, he could not appreciate the Supreme Personality of God. He was so fucked up, and he thought, I'm sitting on the other side, I don't need to stand up for this person. Even if he hadn't stood up, but his mood was one of surrender. Balaam immediately said, this person's unqualified, he must destroy him immediately. Whatever you hear from such a person is a waste of time. As soon as Goswami was completely surrendered to the previous chariots, he completely understood what it meant to accept Krishna as the Supreme Person. qualified. And if we find him one place in the first canto, that the sages are absent from him and say, no, you're learning in almost all of the branches. So actually, what's the learning of this God? In knowing all the branches of the scriptures. But he understood the essence, he understood the meaning of the scriptures. So he was far from the gods. Right, we'll stop there and see what he's going to say. Timah Bhagavatam Kedah Bhagavatam.